100% owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Kaboom!
Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking to Mr. Akin Walker, who is the owner and CEO. Hello, y'all. Y'all heard that, right? The CEO of MV Soaps. He has some very special soaps that we can purchase with a purpose. All right, so let's welcome Akin, everybody. Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. You know, much better than I deserve, I'll tell you that.
So, kind of brief everybody, what's your story?
Yeah, so my story actually begins, I would say, in West Africa, Liberia, West Africa, where my family is from. I emigrated here when I was 2 years old. My family and I were actually refugees from the civil conflict there. That lasted nearly two decades, but grew up in the DC metro area. Been very fortunate to grow up in this area that's incredibly diverse, with, I would say, you know, excellent school system and, you know, just access to so many resources, just incredibly blessed to be where I am. So grew up in the DC metro area. Interestingly enough, I went to a private boarding school also in the DC metro area, where I would say that was my foray into private school studies. I was mostly in public school. And then I studied at Washington College, a liberal arts college in Chestertown, Maryland, where I double majored in business management and Spanish. After I graduated from college, my first job out of college was actually teaching English in Japan.
Being a former teacher myself, I'm a little jealous. I've had a couple of teachers that I've known who's gone and did this. I've had one who taught in London. I've had another lady who actually went over and taught in Brazil. So yes, right now, paint me a little bit green, but that's okay. So I love your story because it shows that we come from different walks of life, but life hits us at every turn and at every space. And exactly. It really is amazing to hear and know that you're from the motherland. Like, I'm loving that right there. Hello. Hello. Anybody want to help sponsor my dream trip? I'm one. Let's do it.
There you go.
I love it because you spoke about intertwining into an area. It's very beautiful, I should say, in the DMV. And then you got here and then you took this opportunity. Your parents gave you the opportunity to go from public school and private school. So you got a chance to see it. And both sides of the world. And I'm segueing to something, so there's a reason why I'm going this way.
All right, then let's do it.
As we got into this, you talked about both sides of this. When you were in the public school system, was there any kind of talk about mental health?
No, growing up, it was, especially growing up in an African household, to be honest with you, it was not something that we emphasized a lot. But it's interesting that you asked this. I know that you asked about the public school system, but I'll talk a little bit about my upbringing and, you know, just growing up in an African household. I always thought about how the war affected my parents, you know, emotionally and mentally, but they never talked about it. Yeah. Wow. So you're right. So you have to think about it. Like my father, he was actually almost executed four times, coming out of Liberia. And, you know, he never talked about how that impacted him emotionally. You know, my cousins, my aunt, my aunts, my uncles, you know, we would hear about the people who had been lost, right, during the war, but we would never hear about the actual emotional effects of that. And that was not something that we explored in school, right? I knew that there were guidance counselors that were available in the public school system, it wasn't necessarily someone that you would go to talk about, you know, what's going on with you emotionally. And you would tend to think about that for the people that were more troubled, right? The kids that would act up and act out like, okay, they need to go talk to somebody. But it wasn't like a preventative thing that we would look to do in order to improve our own mental health and mental wellness. So no, it wasn't something that was emphasized in public school. And I wouldn't say even so much in the private school. I think that right now I'm part of the alumni association for my private school, and now we're having more, I would say, real conversations about how things are affecting people, you know, with the pandemic, for example, also with George Floyd. All these kinds of things are bringing a lot of conversations to the forefront. And I would say that the generation behind us is woke. You know, there's so much, and our generation as well is just so focused on making sure people are whole and, you know, bringing them their best selves and getting the most out of the world that we live in. So
what I love about it is that you spoke about it from a couple different angles. You spoke about it being from a child of a father who was a war refugee and almost being executed 4 times. And then you also talked about having that concern for the mental health piece. Along with that, you talked about the upheaval that we've seen in the streets with George Floyd and other young people, men and women, who've been harmed or either killed, as we saw, and murdered, as I would say, with Aubrey in Georgia. And what I love about how you spoke about it was that it comes in so many ways. People assume that just mental health comes just from the battlefield, or it comes just from a neighborhood with a lot of violence. Mental health spans the globe, and it comes in so many different ways and ladders that people don't really realize it. And I'm so excited that you mentioned even in the private school, because, you know, many of us, I'll speak for myself coming south, you know, down here in the private school sector, you have that mental health counselor. I have a girl who just got a job in a school making quite nice bank, let me say that. She's in private sector with that in the school system, and her job all day is, she told me, she goes, "Hey, Brantley, this is cake, man. I love this. I can listen to songs on it. This is good." I was like, I hear that, and I love that you have it for those babies. I was like, but I think about the other babies who are going gang-infested areas, who are going through areas that are drug-infested. I'm thinking about those babies who are having stuff going on in the house and don't have anyone to talk to. I think the big thing for me is now it's brought to the forefront, but also people are getting to see that mental health is not just that thing you had in the closet. It's not that cousin you had before you get married. This is now in front of you saying, "Hey, honey, I'm here. I want to talk, and we're going to talk loud." So that's the part that I'm really loving about your mission and your product. But before I jump to your product, I want to go a little deeper. You even talked about with COVID. Before COVID, what do you think society's view on mental health was?
That's a great question. So before COVID, I believe that there have been rumblings of conversations. I believe that it's not, there's not as much stigma around talking about mental health, I think, even before COVID, right? And I think a lot of it is because our generation and generation behind us is just so vocal, right? And, I'd say they're just kind of wired differently. We're wired differently from previous generations, right? And so we want to vocalize these things. So I think that the conversations were beginning to happen, right? But I think that COVID accelerated a lot of those conversations, right? Because right now everybody is isolated. There was that isolation phase, right, during the quarantine. And there was just a lot of trauma that was going on, right? And you begin to hear these stories and just kind of like these archetypes of individuals that it's really obviously, it's impacted people in a significant way. So I think that COVID really accelerated the conversation, if anything.
What I will say this, there are two parts to COVID that really hit me. Being in the field of mental health, it was a lot of people, and I will say this has been a part of that overflowing of people coming, and I'm excited that people are finally coming for help. But if people have been sitting on it for so long and suspecting and saying, "I think this is going on, but I didn't want to face it," or "I couldn't really talk to my family members about this because they didn't understand, or they had already labeled me, for that." And then how do you deal with that? So for me, it's been a beautiful blessing of seeing people say, "You know what? I want to talk about this now. I can't sit back. I can't let this keep me captive." Yeah. But I also feel like now it's time to get more resources in the area of getting families to understand.
Yeah. I love the way that you said that. And even for me, with some of the mental health challenges that I have personally had, right, around mental wellness. Some that I didn't share about my story. When I was teaching English in Japan, I was actually there during the earthquake and tsunami.
Whoa. Okay.
Yes. I was there during the earthquake and tsunami in 2011. 14,000 people died. I think the numbers from 14,000, 20,000 people died. Fortunately, I was not in the, you know, the tsunami zone where all the water was really coming. I thought that I was going to die in that moment. And after that major earthquake, we had over 800 aftershocks. And I would wake up with panic attacks, you know, not knowing if I was going to wake up the next day. I really had those concerns. I was actually beginning to have anxiety attacks, but I didn't really think, okay, I need to talk to somebody about what's happening to me right now. You know, like when I was getting the shortness of breath, and I didn't really think about it because it, especially I would say within the Black community, we don't really talk about therapy like that. We don't talk about mental health like that.
Here's the thing that I find in the African-American community. We don't talk about a lot of things that we need to shine a light on.
Oh, yeah.
Health is definitely the main one we need to shine a light on and stop labeling and going, oh, you know, she's just crazy. He's just crazy. Oh, you know, they over eating graham crackers with their little granola sweater on. We have to talk about these things because they're at our front door and they're knocking loudly. I'll give an example for me. Before I left the teaching field, there was a period that I suffered with serious depression, not because the kids, it was because I was battling with, do I leave the neighborhood that I grew up in? And I need them not to have that person who's going to really care for them and not just be a number. Or do I go and take care of me and my mental health and make sure I'm good? And when I say that, it was because at that point, when I started telling people, I want to leave the field, I kept hearing this, don't you leave that good kind of job? The people got benefits, they paying you, you stay there. Meanwhile, you're telling me to stay here and I am sinking. I am literally every day being more and more depressed. And I'm at the point, and my depression looks so different from what the normal standard is. You know, we have in our mind, when people say they're depressed, they're in the bed, they're overeating, maybe they're not eating. And mine was totally different. I became ultra productive. I was a person, every time you looked, I had a smile on my face. Hey, girl. I was running around, I was doing it. And everybody's like, oh my God, like she's doing the most. And I had what I call the superwoman sticker on my chest. And meanwhile, I'm going home. I can't sleep at night. I'm taking sleep aids and can't go to bed. I'm putting on smooth jazz, can't go to sleep. I'm literally watching the sun rise and set. And it's just, it was horrible. And I don't think people understand that's what it looks like. And if we don't talk about these things, we can't get help. You know, one thing I love that somebody had posted online said, please make sure you take the time to check on your strong friend because there's so much going on inside, you'll never understand. And when I read that, I was like, hello, that'll preach right there. That will do
it.
Because we don't realize it. And just hearing you talk about these moments of waking up at night with aftershocks, because I know just for, you know, a couple of girlfriends and for those of us who lived in Florida for a lifetime with hurricanes, I have a girlfriend who literally moved out of the state. As soon as she became of age, she never comes back because of Hurricane Andrew. Was in that area where they had all of the devastation down south. So she never that. So for her, she's like, honey, y'all can keep it. Y'all can buy whatever you want. I have going up here. And that's just what she's done. I'm not mad at her. I think beautiful. That's her role that she took. But think about what that could have done for somebody else, somebody else's child who was still with that on a daily basis. Think about what this conversation right now that you're having with me about being in those zones and waking up, especially for Black men. What that's doing for me right now is just mind-blowing. You have no idea, because I feel like we have been in such a space as a society that we don't want our men to be fully whole. We want our men to be that strong, rough, tough man, but he can't cry when he's having a moment. We want our men to be this all-together man at all times, but he can't say, I'm hurting.
Yep.
So that is why I love your product. So now I'm going to hush for a second. I'm going to let you share what's your product, what it means, the meaning behind the purpose for it. And just the floor is yours.
Yeah, for sure. So MV Soaps is a brand that is for Black men. And it is a cosmetics and a beauty brand for Black men. And MV, it's kind of like a double entendre what the MV stands for. So my two boys, my sons, their names are Micaiah and Vonan. So I use their names, but also it stands for men validated. Mm-hmm. So I want for Black men to feel seen and heard and validated through a product that is focused on them, right? This is not to say other people can't buy the product. Please, if you see it, you want to support the mission, you're part of the mission, please go ahead and support. But I really wanted to create something that was unique for Black men. So we have, we're starting off with soaps, natural soaps. So this is one example. I don't know if you can see it too well.
This is sad. I really like this, y'all. This is nice. Nice packaging and all. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this is our citrus scent. So we have three variations. So this is citrus. So it's kind of like a floral scent. Again, all natural products, coconut oil, apricot kernel oil, shea butter. So a lot of oils that are very familiar to our community. And then also we have black tea. So this is another scent, more musky. Is a very nice scent. Again, same ingredients, just a different variation of the soap. And then we have an unscented for people that don't want to have any kind of fragrance in their soaps. And what's really unique about this is that 10% of our profits will go to mental health initiatives. And so we've identified, one organization in particular called the Confess Project that we would want to give 10% of our profits to. And what they do is they actually create mental health advocates through barbershops and salons. So they are enabling our barbershop owners, salon owners to be mental health advocates. They, emphasize things like active listening, right? Really trying to understand what's going on with people so they can speak into their lives. But more than anything, give them access to the resources that they need and to, get rid of the stigma associated with mental health and mental wellness within the Black community.
Now, what I love about this, y'all, now let me tell you, y'all can see him, but he has some gorgeous skin, okay? Listen, talk about his soap. His skin is gorgeous. I need to talk about balls, okay? So I need you to send that to me. I need to get this together. Now, I love this because you're taking something, such a place in the community that literally is everyone's safe haven. Who doesn't go into a barbershop and hear a bunch of craziness? I can't say what I really want to say, but hear a bunch of craziness and really know that these men are being fed. And then, as we all know, if you get a good hairdresser, baby, you tell her everything. She knows everything with your man, to what's going on at the job, what's happening with your mama. That, and I think it's beautiful because these people already have our ears.
Yeah.
It's now that we can use them in a way that it's not just the gossip, but it's a healing experience. And I love this whole experience with this. Oh my gosh, you made this so awesome for me. So let's go back for a second. I want to talk a little sports. Now, for those who know me, y'all know I'm a big sports fan. I'm more so a boxing girl than anything. But I just want to kind of highlight for a second. I know everybody's highlighted these following athletes, like Michael Phelps and Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles about their mental health. Do you think that by them being in the light, this will open up more doors and more conversations?
100%. And, to be honest, I can't imagine what that pressure feels like for people like Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles. And, Naomi Osaka in particular, I really kind of empathize with her, or I would say more sympathize, because I lived in Japanese society. So I know how Japanese people are. And she's very Japanese in like the way that she kind of carries herself. And so all that media attention and not necessarily being prepared for that, right? It's not like she was trained to be this media personality. I can understand, to a very little degree as to what she's going through. But I do believe that this is, the fact that all these people in sports, they're talking about their mental wellness and trying to protect themselves mentally. I think that it is going to continue to change the conversation. And I think that it's becoming more welcome as well, right? And I think it's because of the time that we're in. Those that are, kind of dissenters and trying to criticize Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka for trying to protect their mental wellness, those people are, that they're fading into the background, right? We're not even hearing those voices. We want to make sure that our queens are being taken care of and that they're taking care of themselves, right? So that I'm really happy about where we are.
What I love about how you spoke about taking care of our queens and then taking care, and having them take care of themselves. So many times in our communities, the women are last. We're the backbone that take care of everybody else and we make sure everybody else is good. And then meanwhile, while we're being that superwoman, we're over in the corner and people are not really noticing. So I applaud both of those women for standing up and saying, hey, I need a break right now. I need take care of me and make sure that I am good. And I'm gonna be very honest. That's one of my things that I've been very big on since I've gotten into mental health. Sis, take off that S off your chest. Take care of you. You are important. If there's nothing else here, you're the important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
So I just love that. I want to take a moment before we get to our last word. And I want to share, if you feel like you need to reach out with someone, talk with someone about mental health, you can always connect to the 211 line, which is a national line. And you can always check out what's in your local area. There are plenty of different places you can go. The one thing that has been a blessing in COVID is that you have plenty of therapists of all nationalities that are willing to talk with you. There are quite a few that you can get online now. And there are people who are willing to do a sliding scale to help you if you're saying, I can't afford it. Because I know for me years ago, when I had first started out in my voyage of dealing with mental health, I couldn't afford it. I would go in and talk with people and be saying, yeah, I want to get help. I want to do this, but I couldn't afford it. So now you're in a space and place in this time and day where you can afford it. People are willing to help you. The one good thing that I love about the online experience with mental health now is that people are saying, hey, I want to work with you. I can help you. There are plenty of therapists and counselors and others in the community as well of health services that have multiple states licensures and willing to work with you. So if you feel like, hey, I want to continue this conversation and I really want to reach out, connect with your 211 line. So now let me go back for a second for our last word, because I got to tell you, you just gave me life with this whole one. Okay. I'm loving it. With this whole piece for you, how do you protect your mental health?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's great. And I would say that this is a journey for me, right? This is something that I'm personally still working on. I have not arrived. But one of the things that I'm realizing that I need to do is to be active, right? That has been actually very helpful and therapeutic for me. So I've actually taken up Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which has been super exciting. And I feel more whole. I feel more present when I do that. But also prayer, right? Me and my time with God and just making sure that I have some quiet time, right? With all the hustle and bustle, I'm working a 9 to 5. I'm launching this business. I'm actually in graduate school as well. So I have a lot of things on my plate.
Okay. Yeah. You helped me today. Thank you. I'll give you my ass on my chest. Wow.
Yeah. So I have a lot going on. So when I can, you know, have some quiet time. And I think the most important thing is trying to be present, because my disposition is to kind of try and be numb, right? When I have so many things going on and I just don't want to do anything, I don't want to think, I try and just be numb. But that numbness is actually, it's not helping me. It's not helping me to proactively improve my mental wellness. So that's a little bit about what I'm trying to do.
So I'm going to sum up as we get to our wrap. So I love how Ken came with us today. He shared with us the traumas that not only he experienced, but that his family experienced. And in this process, he has created an amazing product, MV Soaps. Y'all go ahead and grab y'all a couple bars here. And make sure when you grab your bars, you know that you're doing this for a great cause to help quite a few people in the community deal with their mental health as well. I love that you said a part of your mental wellness routine is being active. That means getting up, getting out. You know, your prayer time to whomever you subscribe to. I know that we subscribe to the Lord Jesus Christ, but whoever that is for you, whatever it is for you, take that time, do that meditation, whatever it is for you. And then along with that, the biggest piece, being present. Well, y'all, I want to thank y'all for tuning in, honey. This is a discussion that will continue. So y'all definitely check out, look out for Ken and look out for Patrice on the Patrice Bradley Podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in today on the Patrice Bradley Podcast, where helping is the name of our game and where we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. To connect with the Ken, where would they go?
You can go to @MV_soaps on Instagram, and also the same tagline for Facebook. And you can go to mvsoaps.co to subscribe to our newsletter.
All right. Y'all know how this goes. Let's go out and be great, because we are great. And our greatness is now. It no longer awaits. You all have an amazing day.
100% owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Kaboom! Kaboom.